Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are getting ready to talk a little Royals baseball, which is available for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. You can tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 7 o'clock after the Chiefs Kingdom show for Royals Tigers. We'll join in progress. Simply download the Odyssey app. Search for KFH at game time. Jacob Albrock here, Tommy Caster. We are going to talk Royals as we welcome in from Kings of Coffin, Mike Gillespie, joining the program again for a weekly visit, a Royals insider. We appreciate Mike's time and insight as the Royals drop the first one to the Tigers. Frustrating loss because you had a big-time offensive performance, but Seth Lugo was not good, Mike, in that game. The magic number remains at 8. It's not going to feel, we're not going to feel relief until that magic number is 0, I don't think. As promising as things still look, each time you lose, it still makes you just cringe a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, it seems like every time we watch the Royals now, we're pretty comfortable. Until the bullpen gate swings open, and then, you know, things just kind of deteriorate. I had a story up this morning where I actually wasn't all that tough on Lugo. You know, he wasn't Lugo type Lugo, you know, but he worked out of a jam. He was getting the outs, and then the fifth inning came. He got into some trouble, left with a lead, and then the bullpen came, and you know, unfortunately, couple that with some failure to get some timely hitting in the final innings, and you know, you've got a game where you have to say we didn't gain any ground, but in the grand scheme of things, they're still in good shape.
Mike, I really, for me, after watching this team the last week or so, my biggest takeaway, I think, has been just having a steady presence in the leadoff spot from Tommy Pham. And there have been a handful of games where he has produced for the Royals offensively. I know last night he was 1-for-5, but in a season where there's just been such a revolving door and musical chairs at that leadoff spot, having somebody that you can just pencil in that you know is going to bat leadoff and more often than not produce at a higher clip than all the other guys that have rotated through that spot in the lineup. To me, I think I think it's not being talked about enough. And I think that it's something that can be really important for the Royals as they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree completely. He's been a very welcome change, probably more welcome to Matt Cotrero than any of us. And it's nice to see, you know, game after game, the same guy leading off, doing good things. You know, he's not setting the world on fire, but you get the idea when he comes to the plate that the chances are really good that he's going to make something happen, and it'll be a good thing that happens.
Yeah, I we all kind of wanted him in the first place anyway. I think that's been – what do you think? I mean, Mike, the Royals – J.J. Piccolo's on a heater, I think. The offseason that they had, which is as good as you get, especially for a small market team, to bring in the pitchers and the players they did, the trade deadline moves that they were able to make despite a lacking farm system. And then when the injury bug strikes late, a couple of creative moves to bring in more play. Like he has navigated this thing as well as you could ever hope. When we think from the end of last season to now, how many different things he and the front office have had to do to reconstruct this thing. It's been pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the season, no matter what happens, that's going to be one of the things we all look back on and say, wow, what a nice change. Dayton Moore had his moments, but Dayton Moore was also too inclined to stick with what he had. You know, he was extremely loyal to players, didn't want to make a lot of moves, but Pecola, even though, you know, he studied at Moore's right hand for so many years, Pecola's his own guy. And I think also you have to give some credit in all of this to John Sherman, because, you know, at the end of the day, we all have our bosses, including Pecola. And it's pretty clear that John Sherman has said to him, go out and do what you need to do. Now, if you need to spend an incredible amount of money, let me know and we'll talk about it. But other than that, do what you need to do. So I think give Sherman some credit too.
You know, it's kind of a broken record, Mike. You know, every time we've had you on, there's a conversation about the bullpen, and rightfully so, because it's just been it's been an issue. It's been a struggle for a while. And now really the injury bug has flared up again. Chris Stratton is on the IL. James MacArthur left the game last night with elbow tightness. Actually, when he left the game last night, the first person I thought about was you, Mike, just because of our conversations about MacArthur. But, you know, even despite the struggles that we've seen from both Stratton and MacArthur, losing two bullpen arms that have been a part of your bullpen the entire season is a knock, you know, to the Royals bullpen for sure. I know they recalled Zerpa, you know, back to rejoin the bullpen. But where do you assess just the overall depth of this Kansas City bullpen right now?
Well, there isn't a lot of depth. And, you know, I wasn't surprised last night with the Twitter and other social media reaction to MacArthur's injury. You know, all these people saying that that's a good thing it's happened to the Royals. Well, really it isn't. Because if he goes on the IL, that's going to be a problem, because there's two sources that Pecola has right now. One is the waiver wire, and who knows? You know, that's a crapshoot to see if there's anybody even on the waiver wire. The second source is Omaha. And, you know, 11 games left, fighting for a playoff spot. Sisk is pretty good down there. People keep talking about Jonathan Bolin. I'm not sold on Bolin. I never have been. But, you know, to pull Sisk out of Omaha right now and bring him up and throw him out there and say, get it done, that's a tough ask. But as I wrote this morning, that may be where they have to go. They may have to dip into that Omaha bullpen.
Mike Gillespie joining us, Kings of Kauffman, at Kings of Kauffman on X, kingsofkauffman.com. Tracking the magic number right now for everybody. It's at 8. MacArthur may struggle, but if you needed a strikeout right now, Mike, if you were in a situation where it was strikeout or bust, I do still think he's pretty close to the top there in that regard. You know, for that one thing, his stuff is still, it's still as good probably as anybody that's not named Ursig or Bubich at this point. I'm with you guys. I think that could be significant.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that people also actually kind of forget about Bubich, because, you know, he's in such a new role. He's not entirely established yet, but he's done well. And, you know, the sleeper in that group, as far as someone that they may have to rely on even more, is Daniel Lynch. You know, he's getting it done.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that when you look at the number of bullpen pitchers that are, you know, currently on the IL, I mean, obviously we just mentioned Stratton, and you know, then you've got Hunter Harvey, who continues on the IL. Will Smith is on the IL. Michael Lorenzen continues on the IL. So to your point, Yeah, you're clearly dealing with depth issues just with the pitching staff in general. Do you anticipate, and I don't exactly know the status of each one of those players that are currently on the IL, are any of them, do you think, just completely done, like we won't see them again even in the playoffs, or are most of those guys who are currently on the IL from a pitching perspective, do you think the Royals will have at least available when the playoffs come?
You know, from everything I've seen, they're really not talking at all. You hear nothing about Will Smith,
yeah,
except, you know, he's on the injured list. Almost the same with Hunter Harvey. I'd be surprised if we see them back. Lorenzen looked like he wasn't going to be gone for long. Now the Royals are saying as of last night that, you know, he had a short session yesterday just playing catch, and they're going to wait another 2 or 3 days to see how he feels. You know, that takes you to the end of the week.
Yeah.
So I'm not confident that there's anybody on the injured list now that we're going to see back. And even if we do, they're not going to probably contribute a lot.
I was just going to ask you about Pasquantino, and I think that answers that question. So I want to ask you about Bobby Witt Jr. instead. Since the calendar turned to September, Bobby Witt Jr. has a hit in all but, I believe, 3 games that he's played in. So you like that. A lot of those are one-hit games. Hey, not all the way back yet, but we see the Grand Slam last night. He's getting a little more active. We had a stolen base mixed in there last night as well. It feels to me, Mike, like he's revving it back up right at the perfect time. Do you get the same sense from the king of Kansas City right now?
Well, I'm trying to get that sense, obviously, because the Royals aren't going to go very far with Bobby Witt's bat being cold. And, you know, admittedly, I've been kind of hard on him. Even though it's tough to be hard on him, you know, he went into last night's game hitting 219 with a sub 300 on base percentage over his last 18 games. But there's that he seems to get a hit every game. Some of them have been big hits, like last night, but you know, I don't see him slumping till the end of the season and into the playoffs. I think he's going to come around. And in fact, you know, like I say, I kind of harped on him a little bit in a story this morning, but I've got another one coming hopefully for later today that's a little more optimistic, but I think he's going to be there.
You know, going into the first game of the series last night against the Tigers, the Royals were 4 games back at the Guardians in the division with 12 to go. After last night, they're now 5 games back with 11 to go. So that's a tall order for the Royals to overcome. I felt, you know, in 4 games with 12 to go is tough also. But I felt like at least going into the series, if they could make some noise against the Tigers, it could be something that, you know, maybe at the end of this week and early next week, they're back in that race a little bit. If they could trim that gap down a little bit. They weren't able to do that. The Guardians won last night. You're never going to hear in the clubhouse anybody say that they're throwing in the towel on the division, but 5 games back with 11 to go is difficult. That cushion in the wild card is now, I think, what we all switch our attention to really fully, and just making sure that they continue with, you know, a sizable cushion and lead in that wild card. Knowing what we've seen over the last several days or so from Kansas City as they continue this series against Detroit and then moving forward, do you think that, is there anything that stands out to you as a major red flag as to them potentially not keeping that cushion in the wild card?
You know, not really. I'm a little leery of the weekend series with San Francisco. You know, that the Giants aren't going anywhere. But that, you know, that's, I hate to use the term trap game or trap series, but it concerns me a little bit. And as far as the division goes, I think the Royals' only hope there is the fact that the Guardians have 3 games left with Minnesota. And then they finished the season with the Astros. And the Astros are one of the best teams, you know, since early in the season, since, you know, they got off to a slow start. But that's the Royals' hope. They got to get, for that division, they got to get an awful lot of help. I don't think it's probably going to come from Minnesota, but let's hope it does. And Houston does some damage to them too.
Mike Gillespie, Kings of Cop, and one more for you, Mike. If, let's just say the Royals, it finishes and they sit right where they sit right now in that second wild card spot. Remind us what that means. What does that mean for their, how they would open the playoffs? That's a, because the rules keep changing. What is the path, if that's the path they take?
Well, you know, you get into all this, you know, tiebreaker stuff and who plays where. If I had to bet right now, and I was just looking at this morning, and, you know, most of the pundits are saying, who knows? Even though you can get a pretty good picture right now of who's going to be in the playoffs, the puzzle is pretty complicated as to where they're going to be. Right now, I'd probably put the Royals on the road, but I'm still up in the air on just where that road is going to lead and who they're going to play.
it's let's just get there. How about that? Let's just get there.
Yeah.
See if the Royals can get back to the postseason. See if Bobby Witt Jr. can get hot. See if they can lean into that good starting pitching and get on some kind of a run. All Mike's work you'll find at Kings of Kauffman. We appreciate it, Mike. One more of these wild weeks, and we'll probably have a whole bunch of answers next week. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll have to sweat it out a little bit longer, but we appreciate it here. Thanks for joining us on Sports Daily.
Thanks, guys. Always good to be there.
There goes Mike Gillespie. Check it out. It's a race still. It's not over yet. And boy, you'd just like to see him put Detroit away. That would be nice because Detroit's pesky. I don't know what else to say about them other than they're pesky right now, Tommy. But you'll hear it again right here tonight on KFH.
Yeah, it's a different team than the Pirates are. I mean, you look at both of those teams' records, and on paper, they look pretty similar. But Detroit is a better team than Pittsburgh is. Pittsburgh has talent. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think Detroit is a little bit further along in that process. And at the beginning of the season, I would have put Detroit a little bit better. I think I probably would have had them over 500. I think AJ Hinch has done a good job in rebuilding them.
Incredible job.
They haven't executed. They haven't gotten the wins that I think that they expected. So even though on paper their win-loss record looks fairly similar to Pittsburgh, it's a different team than the team the Royals faced on the road over the weekend.
It's Reagans and Marsh in the next two Reagans tonight, but they go up against two pretty good pitchers. Mize is not bad. His numbers aren't incredible this year, but he's a pretty good pitcher. And then Scooble, who might win the Cy Young, is who they get in the finale on Wednesday. So be an interesting series. You know, Scooble's looming, adds a little emphasis to tonight's game, because then you potentially face a sweep and Scooble on the mound. And that would be something the Royals certainly don't want to see. So that game tonight, you'll hear it again right after the Chiefs Kingdom show on KFH. We'll step away. We'll catch our breath. It's been nonstop here out of the gates. That IHOP hotline is back open for you at 869-1230. That's available. We've got talk for K-State and KU as both coaches talk yesterday. Anything there we're taking away as they open up Big 12 play this week? That's where we'll go next on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you, catching our breath. Our thanks to Mike Gillespie for joining us to talk a little Royals baseball from Kings of Kauffman. Our thanks to Dan Israel for joining us here on the program as well. All kinds of fun stuff for you to go back and listen to for free on the Odyssey app. So be sure and do that if you haven't downloaded that in the past. We put it right out there for you in podcast form. Makes it, you know, super easy to take in parts of the show you might miss. We know not everybody's driving around in their car all the time. That's why we love the Odyssey app. That's why we love 12 News Connected, too, by the way, to go back and watch the program as well as we make our way through. All right, Tommy, KU this weekend, we can start there and we'll begin very brief overviews of what we'll get this weekend. We spent a little time with K-State yesterday, Wyatt Thompson joining us. KU, West Virginia. Look, we sorted through some difficult discussions yesterday as it pertains to what KU can do to salvage this thing. There's a lot of problems to solve, but it is the start of Big 12 play. UCF's 1-0, but basically everybody's 0-0 in conference play. We know in a new 12-team playoff that a conference champion from the Big 12 is going to get in. Now, are they going to get an at-large? Time will tell, but they're going to get a conference champion in. So knowing that, what can KU get accomplished in this game to turn things around? I think we all look at the offensive coordinator and say, better figure it out. West Virginia is not a terrible team against the run through three games. You know, they played Penn State, oddly, where Andy Kotelnicki is now. They had a heartbreaking loss at Pitt in their biggest rivalry game last week. They're giving up some yards on the ground. They're giving up 122 yards on the ground. It's kind of, you know, it's not terrible, but it's not great. They've been worse against the pass. But even with that, as you're looking at this, I don't know if Daniel Hyshaw is going to play. We didn't get that update. It's still a question mark yesterday from Lance Leipold. I don't think anything changes in the way we all want to see the game plan, right? Make them stop the run. Make them stop the run and take the pressure off of Jalen Daniels as he hopefully gets things sorted out.
Yeah, I want to see Jalen Daniels pass the football, I don't know, maybe 10 times, 15 times.
18 would be max.
I don't want to see him taking 20 plus pass attempts in this game at West Virginia. Now, I would love to, you know, see him have some designed runs that would, you know, kind of counteract that a little bit.
I'd like to see him run it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if you can see those pass attempts drop and maybe the rushing attempts increase, I think what was happening quite a bit in the game against UNLV on Friday was when he was running, by and large, he was running because a play had broken down or he was scrambling, improvising, that sort of thing. And then as soon as the UNLV defense adjusted, when he was improvising, he felt like he couldn't get anything done with his legs and he had to throw on the run. And that's when some of those bad reads and bad passes were being thrown. So I think you've got to account for that a little bit. You mentioned Daniel Hyshaw. I think that played a larger role against UNLV than anybody really expected it to, because he's a different kind of running back than Devin Neal is. Devin Neal is going to be able, you know, to bounce outside of the tackles. He's going to be able to, you know, make guys miss. Daniel Hyshaw is a bulldozer and he just runs over you. And so it's a change of pace running back that the Jayhawks have. And that 1-2 punch has always been with those two guys when they've both been healthy and both playing in the same games. It's been extremely effective for the Jayhawks. They didn't have Hyshaw in the game against UNLV. It's still kind of up in the air if they'll have him this week. And it's been a little vague about exactly what's going on with him. I know that it was a sickness, and that's why he missed the game on Friday. So I don't exactly know what that means moving forward. But regardless, I think that you need to have that change of pace to be able to complement what Devin Neal does. Because when you've got Devin Neal, who is a great running back, But it's predictable. You know what he's going to do. You can, as a defense, you can kind of zero in on that and just take away, try to contain Jalen Daniels. That's going to be a whole lot easier for defenses than if you have Hyshaw in there too.
I don't know, obviously the Jalen Daniels thing is the hot button issue right now. Grimes, everybody agrees on it's a problem. He better figure it out. But when I look at it, and again, my struggle with all of it is, as it pertains to Jalen Daniels, is I just don't have a clue how the other guys behind him have looked. No idea. But what I can settle on for sure is a three-headed running attack, if they get Hyshaw back with he, Neal, and Hyshaw, that should absolutely be the way KU runs this offense. Not just because Daniels has struggled so much as a passer this year, but because that allows their defense to be the best it can be too. Even if Daniels wasn't struggling the way that he struggled, the path for KU to be a hard beat is for them to play really good defense and control the lines of scrimmage through the run game. That's why we've all been so frustrated at the play calling, or, you know, the the decisions at the line of scrimmage from Daniels so far to throw the deep balls or whatever. Like, just run the ball. Make them stop you. And if your defense is as good as we think it is, you'll have the time to be patient with that, right? Like, you don't ever, if your defense is really good, you don't ever have to abandon the run. You just don't. So don't do it, especially when what's killed you in the last two games are turnovers, right? And one busted play at the end of the first half in the game. Like, the margins have been so thin. Just run the ball. Eliminate the things that can beat you by running the ball. And Jalen Daniels showed us one thing in the positive, and that's that as far as his health, he looks fine, and he looked explosive running it. Now, give this three-headed attack a chance to come out, take the air out of the ball, control the clock, do all those things. Like, this is the on the road, especially in that place, too. Like, this is the time to do that.
There were a bunch of times in the second half in that Friday night game against UNLV that when things were not operating well offensively for the Jayhawks, that I just kept thinking, man, they keep giving UNLV really short fields, and they are putting their defenses back up against the wall over and over and over again. There's not a whole lot more that I think you can expect from the Kansas defense. They had a valiant effort in that second half, limiting what UNLV could do, but eventually it just got to the point to where they couldn't keep it up over and over and over again when the Kansas offense was putting them in bad situations. I was really proud of the KU defense, but there were so many times that I kept thinking offensively for the Jayhawks, look, we don't even need you to score. Just get some first downs and flip the field. Just do that once. Because I might be remembering this wrong, but like three or four different times in the second half, like back to back to back to back, where it was a three and out, or there was a huge loss or a big penalty that pushed things back, and then all of a sudden they're punting, and it's setting up a really short field for UNLV. And by and large, again, the Kansas defense held their ground for the most part, but eventually they just couldn't keep that up.
The most depressing thing about the game on Friday to me was that when KU got the ball at the end of the game, everybody in the building knew they had no chance to go down and score.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it. They had zero chance, and they had plenty of time. And that is a problem. That's a big problem. So what can they do in the short term? I don't know. What can Jalen Daniels do to knock this rust or whatever this is off? I don't know. Is anybody behind him remotely close to challenging his position? I don't know that stuff. We'll ask Shreyas Lotta tomorrow. In the short term, though, no matter who is under center for KU, KU's path, I think, has become more clear now, Tommy, to not matter as much as who's under center. That's a tip of the cap to the defense. It's going to be running the ball. It's going to be utilizing Devin Neal. It's going to be utilizing, in some capacity, hopefully if he's out there, Daniel Hyshaw. And if it is Jalen Daniels, it's going to be utilizing him as a runner too. Now, he's still going to have to be able to make some throws. Time will tell what that looks like. But when you get into the Big 12, we've seen it so many years with K-State, so many years, you just run the ball and play good defense. Maybe you get a good special teams play. It may not be the sexiest way to win, but it is a winning formula. And right now, to me, it's...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the only formula that I think I can see in the short term.
It's the most logical formula. I agree with you on that. And I know that you and I disagreed on a lot yesterday when we were talking about Kansas. I agree with you in that regard, because in the past, I think I mentioned this yesterday, in the past, the Kansas defense was such a liability that you couldn't afford to do that. Right. You had to have as many possessions as you possibly could. It wasn't like control the tempo, control the ball. You needed to score and then hope that you got the ball back to go and score again, because the defense was such a liability. They were opportunistic even a season ago, but they weren't as solid as they have been through the first three games this season. And so they've got to rely on slowing the pace down a little bit. I don't think there is a single KU fan on the planet right now after three games that would be upset if the Jayhawks just ran the crap out of the ball, even though it's significantly different, a departure away from a high-flying offense that we've seen over the last few years. You know, basically ever since Andy Kotelnicki was calling the offense. It's different, but I don't think anybody really cares. That's going to be the most effective way. And I do think that if you can take that pressure off of Jalen Daniels by not only, we always talk about establishing the run, it's not just establishing it, it's being consistent with it and keeping it going.
Force feeding it.
Then by all accounts, you'll probably soften up the pass a little bit, take the pressure off of Daniels. Hopefully there's some more creativity and play calling, you know, even with in the passing game, to where then you are setting Jalen Daniels up for more success. The way that I land on all of this, and it was pretty heated yesterday on this show, but really simply put, where I land on all of this is that Jalen Daniels has not been great. He's not been who we've known him to be in the past. But I also feel like I really want to see him in a situation where he's set up to succeed. And I don't think we've seen that with Jeff Grimes playing calling the plays. If, like, let's say that in this game in West Virginia, things change from a play calling perspective and they do everything that we just discussed. And in theory, it should set Jalen Daniels up for significant success, and he still struggles, then at that point, I can have a different conversation. But I want to see that first.
That's where we've differed on. I am not advocating for Daniels to not be the quarterback yet. Now, I'm close, but I'm not there yet for a lot of those same reasons. But if it was as simple as whichever quarterback is a better fit with Grimes than Daniels, my whole point with all of it is that Leipold owes the rest of the guys on the roster and the fan base at least doing everything within everything within his control to have this team be the best it can be, because everything's still out there in front of them. If it you know, if we were at a different part of the season and the playoff wasn't still attainable and all of those things, I'd probably feel a little bit different. But I think there's a level of desperation right now that should still be very tangible. Whereas, and I get this and I understand why this happens, and I totally get it because we get frustrated as fans, that the fan base is saying this season is cooked. It's done. They have no chance. I get it. But the reality is not that. That's not the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is that they absolutely do still have a chance. And I'll say this, I know that, again, it's like a logical, not an emotional perspective. Even if they were to lose this game, a one-loss Big 12 team is still going to reach the Big 12 championship game. So even if they were to lose this week, and let's say Jalen Daniels goes out there and he doesn't play well, now it's even more desperate, because if you lose another one, then you're not getting it, right? Two losses is the absolute max, probably historically in the Big 12, at who's going to reach the championship game. So while the championship game is still out there, now is the time for desperation, not 3 or 4 weeks from now, when then you can say the season is done, right? Now, at that point, the season's over. I think the desperation needs to come now, not then, in doing whatever it is I don't care what it is, whatever it takes to get to that point, because that point is still attainable for the team.
I think I told you this when we were texting after the game on Friday night, and I think I summarized it, at least my feelings on everything is, yeah, Jalen Daniels has not been great, but he's not getting any help from anybody else.
He's not.
And so it's kind of like, and I know I tend to do this where I throw really corny old sayings out there, but I'm going to use another one. It's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And, you know, so it's the bathwater's been bad, right? Like the play calling has been bad. Don't throw the baby out with it. That's Jalen Daniels. Now, at some point, if this continues and the play calling has changed, I was most angry about, it looked like early in the game on Friday that they had figured out the play calling and they were doing things that were a little bit different. They were giving Daniels an opportunity to be explosive with his legs and get into the end zone and all of that. As soon as UNLV adjusted defensively, the Jayhawks, like, they panicked. And it was just like, oh, what are we going to do? We're just going to have to throw a bunch of passes. And, like, that was not the recipe for success. And we just kind of reverted back to what we saw in the Illinois game. So that's why I was most angry. If they can get that shored up, and I really hope that they do, I have complete trust and confidence in Lance Leipold to take control of this situation and make it better moving forward. I don't have any equity built up with Jeff Grimes, so I don't have faith or trust, because I've never seen him do it for this team before. But it's Lance Leipold that I'm putting my faith in. If they can get it worked out, if they can get the play calling figured out, and this weekend they do that and they implement it, but Jalen Daniels still looks bad, then come Monday, I'm willing to have a different conversation.
So I thought about this after the discussion yesterday, and a good comparison is last year, right? So, and it goes to, like, how much do you owe any particular player when things are on the line? Will Howard last year, there was a point where a lot of people wanted Avery Johnson to take his job. That's coming off of a season where Will Howard went and won the Big 12 and looked like he was going to come into the following season as a Heisman candidate, very much like we thought Jalen Daniels might this year, finally healthy. It didn't take very much poor performance for the seat to heat up. Remember, Avery Johnson was playing significant time pretty early in the season while Will Howard was struggling. And so I think...
It's not an apples to oranges, though, because you had a highly touted freshman pushing him behind him. And, I mean, Avery Johnson last year and Cole Ballard this year. Avery Johnson last year and the upside, the potential, and Cole Ballard this year are not the same.
Wait, man, maybe it's not Cole Ballard. Maybe it's their freshman quarterback that they like. That's where I've got to talk to Sri Islata or somebody who has seen these guys, if it's even possible to see them, the young guys and what they have looked like. I mean, there's a thousand. To me, there's nothing wrong. And if Jalen Daniels can't handle it, then I don't know. And I think that he could, by the way. But even if it's just a catch your breath, hey, whatever, Ballard, you've got the next drive. Like, you know, all the mix and match. Like, because that's what K-State had to do to get Will Howard through it last year, and he handled it fine. And by the end of the year, we didn't see Avery Johnson. And so even that path for me is okay. Maybe somebody else is understanding what Grimes is trying to cook up, and I don't care. I just don't want to punt on the season now and be stubborn with it because they can still win the Big 12 championship.
And you know what?
And again, I know that people laugh at that because of the way that they've played, but I can't throw out everything we've seen building over the last 3 years right now to say that they have no shot to win a Big 12 championship.
The other thing too, from my perspective, is that while I'm not an advocate to make a change at quarterback permanently with a new starting quarterback for the Jayhawks, in the UNLV game, every time late in the game, especially in the fourth quarter, that Jalen Daniels came back out, you're damn right. I was like, man, let's see what Cole Ballard can do, because it wasn't working in that particular game. In that particular moment, especially that final drive when, like you mentioned, and I agree with you because I was in the stands at Children's Mercy, nobody around me, including myself, had any confidence whatsoever that Kansas could move the ball down the field and even get a field goal to force overtime. Like, that was not even in the cards. Everybody around me, myself included, were like, oh, they're bringing Jalen back out. And it, for me, it wasn't a, man, they just need to sit him forever and Cole Ballard just needs to be the guy. For whatever reason, it's not working right now in this game. Let's give somebody else a shot to see what is happening. And even though that was my thought process in that moment, as soon as the game was over with, not one time did I think Jalen Daniels should not be the starting quarterback moving forward.
No, I don't care about moving forward. I don't care about 5 weeks from now. I care about game one of the Big 12.
I'm just saying that I think both things can be true. I think that in that moment, I can say, give somebody else a shot to see if they have more success against UNLV's defense. But then also Jalen Daniels is my quarterback.
Or with this particular game plan. And KU's not even, like, look, there have been times where Jason Bean and KU and Jalen Daniels were kind of both the quarterback.
Absolutely.
We've seen that work.
There was a period of time back before Lance Leipold was the head coach in the Les Miles era, even in the David Beatty era, where every single depth chart that came out at quarterback had an or next to it. Like, it wasn't a first team, like second, it was this guy or this guy. And you didn't even know. Sometimes you would have to wait until pregame introductions and look out on the field and see who's warming up to know who the starting quarterback was going to be. That's happened in the past, but that was when they didn't have capable quarterbacks really, and they were just trying to figure out like what would work in the moment. It's different these days, but of course, KU fans are used to that sort of thing.
These things can make, like, you can rise together. That's what we saw in Will Howard and Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson got significant playing time. Will Howard got figured it out, and it was better for K-State. So we'll see. Again, run the ball a lot in this game, including with Jalen Daniels, if he's going to play the whole way. Let's talk about K-State when we come back. Initial thoughts as we look ahead to their game. No question who the starting quarterback is there. An award for Dylan Edwards we'll tell you about, and a number that is just wild for him so far in the season. Talk a little K-State football when we return on Sports Daily.
97.5 and 1240 KFA.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this Tuesday edition. We are glad to be here with you. That IHOP hotline open, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. Our text to win contest is out there for some HTO. Just text 20357, text the word TEA to get you a shot at that. So we talked to KU. Tommy, here's an interesting number. K-State yesterday, Dylan Edwards named special teams player of the week after that punt return. First running back to return a punt for a touchdown since Darren Sproles back in 2003, which is kind of fun. Here's what's wild about Dylan Edwards so far to me with K-State and why I'm becoming more and more bullish with that offense. He has four touchdowns, Tommy, four touchdowns on the season. How many times do you think Dylan Edwards has touched the ball so far this year?
Not a ton. It's, in three games, I want to say like what? Less than 20, 18 times?
22. So Essentially what you have happening is 25% of the time Dylan Edwards touches the ball, it's a touchdown.
Yep.
So, and I don't have as much of an issue with his usage as a lot of people do, because I know it's coming and I know that it's going to unlock as they go. And I know how much of a weapon he is in the return game. And I know as his opportunities go up, so do K-State's chances of big plays. But they also have DJ Giddens. And they also have Avery Johnson, who's got to get some touches. And so their offense feels like it's only now scratching the surface of where it could be as far as explosiveness goes. I'm far more concerned about their defense, and this will be a really good test for them this week. But this Avery Dillon storyline that we love so much for the two local kids, obviously, and everybody around here is paying attention to, man, it looks like it's going to be as good as we thought it was.
What I love about just the running options that the Wildcats have, it almost kind of, you know, mirrors where I think we'd both like to see Kansas get to, is that three-headed monster running the football. But the Wildcats have been able to execute it in a much better way. And I'm kind of with you. For a while, I was not really concerned, but I'm like, man, they got to get more touches to Dillon Edwards. He's too explosive. He's too talented to not give him more touches. But at the same time, this philosophy is working for them, where DJ Giddens is the workhorse. He is the every down back. He is the guy that is reliable, that you hand the ball to, and that he's gonna get you the yards that more often than not you need. But then a change of pace type guy with Dillon Edwards comes in and catches the defense off guard because he does significantly different things than what DJ Giddens does. And then, oh, by the way, you have to keep in mind that Avery Johnson is back there too and can take off at any time. That's where, honestly, I'd like to see KU get. They're further behind that than the Wildcats are. And that's a credit to not only Chris Klieman, but, you know, the way that Connor Riley has, you know, jumped in and running that offense, and, you know, Matt Wells being involved in the offense too. They've been able to get these three guys on the same page and put a game plan together where really it leans into all three of their strengths, and it's worked out really well through the first three games.
And Edwards isn't going to bloody you like that. Like, I like him in space right now, and that's what they're still working on. And the more that Avery runs it, the more space that's going to open up for Edwards when he's on the field. But we'll get into that. We've got Tim Fitzgerald coming up on Thursday to talk K-State football. We've got Shreya Slotta coming up tomorrow to talk KU football. It'll be a fascinating week, I think, for a lot of different reasons as the Big 12 gets things opened up. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up today. A lot going on the networks, a lot of times that we'll plan on pay attention to. If you're planning on listening to any of it, we'll tell you about it next on Sports Daily.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.